Yeah. Ay. Yeah. Ay. Yeah. Boys.
Goes over to Buckner. Buckner holding the ball. And now Julius and Bird collide. And what's the call?
You got to call it on Bird.
The call is on Bird. And Cunningham started to come out on the court after Bird.
Yeah. That's a bad call right there.
And now Julius and Bird are starting. There they go.
Oh!
And they come up from behind. Malone slides Bird. Malone tackled Bird and put him in a headlock. Julius and Bird were in a fight. Malone came up from behind. I want to see him fight Bird on face to face.
Just like Nicky gone and been it over.
Welcome everybody to the Voice and Poncho Radio Show. This is episode 57. We got some stuff we're going to get into with you guys tonight. First thing we want to talk about is the Sixers lottery. They got the 3rd and the 10th pick. Next we want to touch on a little bit of something we call competition. What did you just hear right there, Poncho? Birds. Julius Erving going at it. Rivalries in sports. Does it still exist? I mean, is it still an issue? That's another thing we want to touch on. We got Flavor Flub, and we have the old Ass Poncho. How you doing?
Well, rivalry week, Tools. Also Memorial Day weekend, brother. And here's hoping that some beautiful vixen honors my little general this weekend. And we know what you'll be up to, Tools. But I'm especially excited for this show. Because the Sixers have two top 10 picks, and Poncho will have a couple of 10s himself this weekend. So thanks for inviting me, brother.
What were you doing for the lottery, Poncho? I mean, I'm sure we all wonder that.
Just watching it pretty close. I was at home. I was kicking a few back, like always, my usual lush ways, but I didn't get to go out or anything for it. I know what you were probably doing.
What? I was at home watching it myself.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm delighted. At least we didn't get skunked on a fifth pick.
Okay, so right off the bat. Who's going to be there at third, in your opinion? Who's going to be available at the third pick?
Obviously, we're jumping right into it, Tools. No one wants to hear about your personal life here, but I like the third draw. I'm fine with that. Personally, I almost like the third pick better than the first pick because you got three guys here, all of them wonderful talents, Tools, like me, wonderful talents, but they all have their flaws, and I just think it's better just let the first two decide on who they want, and we'll take the third.
Okay. Who do you think's going to be available at three? That's what I'm asking.
I just think Embiid's going to be gone. I just think everybody, the big men are coveted. Yeah, sure. I think Embiid's going to be gone. I think it's going to be Parker or Wiggins. Personally, I think it's going to be Parker. And I'm fine with that because his stock has fell a little bit lately. They say maybe he doesn't have a great shot and he's sort of just a tweener player.
Is he athletic enough for you?
I think he is, but what I like most about him, and I'll tell you right now, my doc has shifted on Parker. I personally like him better than any of these other two players because I think you need a guy that gets to the rack, like Poncho at the bar, get right to the rack and then get deeper. I think you need a guy that you can just get the ball to and you know he's going to get to the rack. Wiggins is not that kind of player. He's not an off-the-ball guy, and the Sixers barely need an off-the-ball guy. So.
This is what I think is going to happen. I think Embiid is going to fall to the third pick. And I think the Sixers are going to trade back. This scares me, but I think that's what they're going to do.
But, Tools, they got 7 picks in this draft. We got enough lower-level picks. Why would you want to trade your third pick?
I agree, but
yeah, I don't agree with your logic.
Okay, on CSN Philly, they had an article, and it said the 5 possible trades or deals that could be done around this draft. I'm going to read you the options and tell me yes or no I'd do it. Okay. First off, would you trade the 3rd and the 10th pick for Cleveland's first pick?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I would not do that. No. I mean, unless you really want Wiggins that bad, but I wouldn't do it.
Nope.
Okay. Would you trade back? This is what I think is going to happen. So you would trade back from the 3rd spot to the 5th spot with Utah, and then they would give you a 23.
No, 23 does nothing for me, Tools. We got plenty of low-level picks in this draft. There's 3 players in this draft, Tools. Anybody that's a half genius will tell you there's 3 players in this draft. So we have one of those guaranteed. I don't know why you would even consider moving out of the top three spots.
Here's the thing I would do. I would do this because the Sixers have flexibility with caps. They can the cap, and they can take on contracts or expiring contracts. Would you trade Thaddeus Young, the 10th overall pick, the 32nd overall pick, for the Lakers' 7th pick? So you would move up three slots.
Well,
you're not giving up your 3rd pick. You're just moving up. You're taking on... You'd probably have to take on Steve Nash's contract, but that's expiring next year.
Well, Tolles, I have flexibility with my cap, first of all, but I actually like moving up to 7th more than I like moving to 1 because I think there's two guys the Sixers are looking at 10, hoping, praying for. That's Dougie McBuckets and Marcus Smart, and personally, I think you're just going to miss out on both those guys, so I'd love 7. Yeah, I'll do your trade, whatever, Tolles, whatever
you
satisfies
you.
You
don't think McDermott or Smart will be available at 7?
No. At 7, yes. But I'm saying...
Not at 10.
Not at 10.
Yeah.
Right. So you figured me out. How about this, Tolles? I know you got your lineup here of trades. How about MCW and two of your second-round picks for the first or second pick in the draft? There's one you might not have heard, but personally, I like MCW. He's the only bright spot of the season last season, but he's a flawed player, Tolles. Can't shoot. Not really much of a shooter at all. Turns the ball over.
Who's gonna
be, wild.
Who's going to be your point guard, then?
That's where you get either Wiggins.
He's not going to run the point.
No, no, no.
Okay.
You get Wiggins, and you get either Embiid or Parker, whoever's there at your 3 spot, and then that's when that 10th pick comes into play there, Tolles. And that's where I do some wiggling and get up and get smart.
How would you get the 1st and 3rd?
I'm saying you trade your 10th, and you trade MCW and 2 second-rounders for the 1st or 2nd pick in the draft.
There's no one would ever do that.
Why not?
And the 10th,
MCW is a valued player.
And the 10th? You're saying MCW, the 10th.
No.
And two. No, let's just stop this conversation.
Well,
right
it's
now.
More okay. than what you got there.
Okay, here's the last trade I'm going to offer you. The 3rd, the 10th, and Thaddeus Young for Kevin Love.
No.
I would never consider. Everybody wants to go get Kevin Love. I know he's a good player.
But he's also been on a losing team for years.
But all that does is if you go and get him, you'll be better next year. You don't want to be better next year. Easy with that. So I would not trade for Kevin
Love. Speaking of not being better next year, Tolles, how about this, okay? If we stay at 3-10, here's my hypothetical lineup for next year, and you tell me over-under on wins. Okay, point guard MCW. Shooting guard Nick Stauskas or Dougie McBuckets if we're lucky. Small forward, Jabari Parker. Power forward, it's a question, but if Thad's still here, I guess it's got to be Thad and then Noel in the middle. How many wins does that team pull out?
When were you getting Dougie Buckets at?
That's 10. What I'm saying. If you don't get McBuckets, you take Stauskas at 10, the Michigan shooter.
I know. I heard that. I can't say I know. Whoa. I can't say I
team
know.
Team needs a shooter, Tolles. Team needs a shooter.
Either way, at least they have options. I mean, before they didn't have options. And so June 26th, that's the draft. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk till then. I think that Hinkie is going to move around a lot, and the fact that they have cap space is very valuable, more than people understand, where you'll tell somebody, I'll take on this horrible contract that you have for a year so that clears up your cap space. So watch for stuff like that to happen. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'll watch, Tolles. And we know you have nothing to do on the 26th, so you'll be watching. But, yeah, Hey, obviously, this is the most anxious I've been about a Sixers draft in a long, long time. And I personally think just stay at 3-10, Tolles. Let's get 2 good players. Hopefully it's Parker. And, oh, praise the Lord if it's McBuckets or Smart at 10. I don't think it will be. But this team needs a shooter out of this draft.
I think that Smarts won't be at 10, but McDermott could. Okay.
He might, but people are high on Dougie McBuckets, so.
Do you want to get into our rivalry section and why we're going to – I mean, if you listen to the opening audio –
Great audio you pulled out.
I mean, that's back when sports was crazy, man. You actually wanted to beat somebody. Nowadays, you see somebody – they're always going over. Athletes are going – helping each other off the deck. I mean, come on. There should be a little more hatred. There should be a little more
– Totally agree with you, Tolles. It was an age of men. And I understand you. The only battle you've ever had was with depression, pretty much. But these were when men battled men. These were wars that were fought.
So
and I'll tell you right now, Ali Frazier, Bird, and Urban hated each other.
We're going to get into all that in just a little
bit. Okay, well, I get excited, Tools, and I try to move you along a little.
What brings this about is LeSean McCoy was asked, the key here, was asked a question by Screamin' A. Smith, Stephen A. Smith. He basically said,
"That's an asshole.
Are you the best running back in the league?" So we got this clip. We're going to play it for you, let you digest it, and then we're going to go over it.
Are you the best running back in football?
Yes, sir.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's very honest.
You believe that? Even with Adrian Peterson still playing, you still believe that?
You know, my brother argues with me all the time. He's always trying to make me play harder. You know, I say I'm the best. He says, the Adrian Peterson, they retire? So the thing is just, you know, I look at football, you know, I look at the last 3 years of everything. I think AP has been the best back for so long, and he's been doing it for so long. That's why he automatically gets the best running back. But the last 3 years, I've been all pro first team twice. I think I never leave the field. I block, I catch. You know, I never leave the field. I don't have any.
All right. There, I mean, that's McCoy right there. I mean, do you blame him for saying that?
He was set up with the question. He was asked the question. He didn't bring it up. And there's five other running backs in the league that would probably say I'm the best. Tolles, do you play to consider yourself second grade? These are professional athletes. These are stallions. And this guy is a great player, high-level player. Well, so he's not going to say, oh, I'm the third best back in the league. Okay. I wouldn't want him on my team if he
So Adrian Peterson did an interview where they brought up this interview that LeSean McCoy did. Just listen how he handles it and tell me what you think after.
So you mean it.
So you're selling. He was selling Wolf tickets. He didn't really believe it, LeSean McCoy, when he said he was the best running back in the league. You're saying Adrian Peterson. He said it, but he didn't really mean it.
He didn't really mean it. If you watched and you seen his response, he didn't really mean it. Say it with the chest. But, you know, I got to give the young guy credit. You know, it's not wrong with having confidence, you know, confidence in yourself, you know. But, you know, you got to speak it. You know, you got to speak it with more truth, you know. He's a heck of a running back, and I like his style. So let me not get on too much.
All right, that's AP. I mean, he acts like he's 100 years older than him. He's only 4 years older than him. But
I didn't really get his point. Was that recorded in the projects or what? It bothers me when interviewers try to sound ghetto and try to relate to these athletes. Yeah, that really annoys me, Tools. But that's for another show, and there will be more shows. Should we get our feeds out there at The Voice Poncho on Twitter?
Yep.
The Voice Poncho Radio on Facebook, Tools, and www.voiceponcho.com. iTunes. We're on iTunes. That's where you want to get this podcast.
So, the rivalry aspect. I was thinking to myself, what is the five best rivalries between athletes? And I challenged you to come up with some of your own. I got my own list. So let's start it off. Give me one of yours, Poncho.
Well, I would have to go with, I mentioned it in the opening, so I'll just, Frazier Ali.
Yep.
I mean, those two guys right there, those two wanted each other dead. They wouldn't have cared a bit if the other one died in the ring. They would have liked it. They would have enjoyed it. And I don't think you can deny that. That's got to be top two or three.
What about Bird versus Magic? You have to put that up there.
Sure.
Now, it gets really, after those two, it gets... Would you say Peyton versus Manning? Would that be one, would you say? Mano-a-mano, athlete versus athlete.
Are you talking brother versus brother?
No, I'm talking about
Peyton versus Manning. An internal personality disorder that Peyton Manning's having here?
Those are great. Peyton versus Brady.
Okay.
I wrote it down.
Well, I guess recent memory, and that's probably why it sticks out big as a top rivalry. But, I'd say in the last, 10, 15 years, you got to go with those two guys. Sure, they always seem to be there.
I'm going
to
throw another one at you might have remembered. How about Clemens versus Piazza?
Oh, yeah, that was great. But you know what? That was more or less defined, I think, by that one at-bat where he threw the bat at him, But, they were mean guys, and I'll tell you what, they were both juiced up, so they were game for a tussle, I'm sure.
How about Kobe versus Shaq?
They kind of
didn't get along.
What'd you do? Google top 10 sports rivalries for this list?
Well, and here's the one. What is a current one? It's obviously not that good as Bird versus Magic, but what's one that, let's just say, it happened in the NFC title game?
I know where you're going. Are you going with Sherman and Crabtree?
Sherman and Crabtree.
Yeah.
This is what I'm hoping. This is what I'm optimistic about.
But
I'm thinking maybe Twitter will cause more rivalries. These players can communicate with each other, so maybe this Twitter is going to make them talk to each other. I mean, even today, Patrick Peterson tweeted out to Sherman that, hey, I'm the only true cover corner, and he had pictures and diagrams. I mean, let's hope, because rivalries is what made sports great.
Yeah, Tools, I agree with you. And my Twitter makes me more of a man. I know that. So, I personally think Twitter has a lot to do with it. These guys love to chirp, brother. And I'll tell you what, Peterson's just playing around there. That guy baiting Sherman, he's playing around. And I'll tell you what, the playfulness turns into rivalries, and I'm all for it. On that list, Ollie Frazier, no doubt about it.
Number one.
My lifetime.
Better than Bird versus Magic.
Yeah. I think Ollie Frazier despised each other. And I mean, look at the way they fought each other, Tools. They wanted each other dead in the ring. I'll go with that.
Okay. Now, are you at all concerned about Cliff Lee?
Yeah, if I cared about the Phillies, maybe I would be. But
yeah,
Tools, I don't know. It's really hard to even get high or really low on this team because it's so, I don't know. It's just so neutral. And
the only thing that I think the team stinks, and I think they're not going to be good at all this year.
Yeah.
I can barely watch the games. But Cliff Lee at least had trade value to now. I mean, with this injury, I was hoping maybe they could trade Cliff Lee for three or four prospects. Now, I don't even know if that can happen now, Poncho.
How many wins did you say at WhSync predicted? It's 87 or something for this team?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's schizophrenic, Tools. We know that. But at least he has some sports knowledge in him. But on a call like that, that's terrible. I don't see this team winning 70 games, personally. I don't. I think maybe in that division they'll get to 70, 72, 74.
Are you ready to do the Ask Poncho segment?
Of course.
Are you ready to do
I'm
the
ready
ask-
for anything Are in you- life. I'll defy anybody.
Well, there is an at Hawkins33 who submitted a question. At Hawkins33.
What? A Twitter. Is that a Twitter handle?
Yes, that's Twitter. Okay.
Wow.
Here's his question. Poncho, I'm turning 40, and I'm about to go back onto the dating scene. I'm considering wearing tighter jeans like all these young guys are doing. Would I look stupid wearing tighter jeans, or should I keep my normal fitting jeans?
Well, that's
from at Hawkins33.
And I appreciate this hashtag Ask Poncho segment, Tools, and that's an easy one to answer. You threw a cupcake at me right there, Tools. Guys with skinny jeans, and I understand the trends and all that and the fads.
Older guys or younger guys?
Well, I'm just saying guys in general wear these skinny jeans. Listen to indie bands and pet each other's beards. If you want tail, I like to put a little sag in my jeans, Tools. Be who you are. Be a man, not a boy like these poser hipsters.
All right, so you're not switching up to the skinny jeans.
Never, Tools, never. I got a little sag in mine, and you know what? If you want to see what's in my shorts, go back to the bedroom. Don't look through my jeans.
No. Did you hear the thing by Mark Cuban where, like, they basically ask the guy, are you a racist? And he answers a question honestly, and now everybody wants to kill him. I mean, did you hear that?
I did. And personally, I guess you're going to play the clip, but I don't really have as much of a problem with Cuban as folks do. I think he tells it like it is, but yeah, you got your clip.
All right, let me... I just think, you know, every once in a while, if you answer something honestly, is that the worst thing in the world? And,
no.
And people just, like, destroyed him because he said something that, you know, made sense.
I mean, we're all prejudiced in one way or the other. If I see a black kid in a hoodie and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that side of the street there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the
street. Oh, I can't believe he just said that. I mean, I can't believe he just said that. He's so horrible. Let's destroy him. That's what the media does. It's so stupid.
Yeah, that's the thing. When a guy's real and honest, and I'll tell you what, I'm not saying 100% I agree with the guy on what he's saying there, but I get it, and I can tell he's being honest. But then you get these poser mediaites, these wannabe journalists, these posers like Zach Berman, for example. But then they just scold the guy for being honest. Then why'd you ask him the question?
So
what did you want?
You were just on a podcast. You jumped ship and you went to another podcast. How could the fans listen to you on this other podcast?
Oh, are we talking? Okay, sure. Get to it. At Dogging On Movies on Twitter, I did a special little movie segment, Tools, because it's about sports for me, but I also spread around and have other interests, Tools, and getting away from you is not the worst thing in the world. So at Dogging On Movies is a great little segment. Watch the movie. And I broke it down on the air, Tools, and I spread my knowledge everywhere.
Are you ready for the Flavor Flub? You said you had the flavor, this week, and I had the flub.
And it's pretty obvious the taste is still with me of this beautiful wonderfulness that I saw on NBA draft night. And it wasn't Julius Erving. It wasn't any of the other various men. It was Mallory Edens, this barely legal, beautiful starlet that represented the Bucks at the draft. And I'll tell
you
what.
She was 18.
18, but that skirt. That thing was higher than Wiggins vertical, and I liked it, and I was looking for more. Unfortunately, online, I didn't get any.
That's a good one. Her skirt was higher than Wiggins.
Well, Tools, did you see it?
Well, it was high.
For an 18-year-old. She's still in high school, Tools, but I'll tell you what. I searched online.
Oh, how do you know she's in high school?
Well, I searched her. I sought her out. But then, obviously, I've been doing Mallory Edens skirt draft and then image search, and nothing. All I have is just her face, and I want the whole thing. I want to relive it, Tools, but it was flavor of the week.
My flub of the week, it actually kind of annoyed me, was John Stewart's rip on Philadelphia. I mean, he sounded, this is what it sounded like. He sounded like the drunk friend at a party who's way too drunk and, like, skitzes out. He skitzes out, says all this weird shit, and then you're like, and then he's like, "Oh, why did I say that?" Like, I think Jon Stewart was like flipping out, and then he was like, "What? Why did I say it?" I just think it was odd.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not a big Stewart guy. I know you're like Colbert and what all those political fruits, but personally, I don't buy him, and I thought he was way off base. But what?
I just
didn't
like the ripping of Philly.
No, I didn't either. Tools and
you got big plans this weekend?
I already alluded to some of them, but I also. We'll probably be spreading around a little bit, getting to some various parties. But I did want to give you some news in a couple of weeks. We have the Belmont coming up. So
yes,
I know you're anxious to get out.
Sir.
You probably got a lot to do online or whatever.
Well,
but
we'll probably go bet the whole ponies that
way. We'll be out. But the field obviously hasn't been announced yet, but there is some news that broke. And among those who won't be running Candy Boy, he was scratched, Tools.
Did he really? That's not good.
Well, the word is.
For your trifecta.
Well, yeah, he hasn't been walking right since you were alone with him in the stable at the Derby, and then Weir came down for a little extra fluffing before the race. And Candy Boy is obviously injured in the back hindquarters, so he won't be running, but we'll give you our picks on Twitter, Tools.
Yeah, we'll be sending it out. Everybody, enjoy your Labor Day, or what is this, Memorial Day weekend.
Tools, you are just a wonder. You're on your A game tonight, but thanks for inviting me.